Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 4, Other Worlds. Issue 2, A Game of Crowns. On the cover, ash falls silently from a moonlit desert sky. A wind blows down from a nearby mountain and picks up the raucous sound from a small, warm-looking tavern. Inside, a young prince plays a lively tune for all who will listen, but there is a darkness in that music, for all who hear it know that they eat and drink in the shadow of the Tower of the Dark Wizard Drock Elmore.
The first panel of the comic is in a darkened room. We see the lights of the servers of the Ultra Arcade glowing in the darkness, and there is one small screen mounted to one of the server racks, and you can see the kind of like jaggy lines surrounding the outline of what would be a VR headset that's kind of like the logo of the villain you saw. And in the gap where the eyes are, there's a loading bar, and you can see he's at like 10 to 20% energy. It's kind of like just like chunks of stuff. And the whole screen is labeled like energy required for release.
Mm.
And so there's a big final panel of that. And then we cut back to a scene in a big open room in the middle of a dark obsidian tower, full of these animate skeletons wearing armor and wielding fantasy weapons. And right in the middle of them, we see three figures. The giant barbarian form of what is Ramon's fantasy name?
Oh, man. Ramon of the Castle.
Ramon of the Castle. And next to him, wielding this staff, throwing some magic energy around, is Nancy, who is labeled Nancy, the Waywalker. And then on the other side of Ramon is Dean, who is in his like really gaudy costume, and he is just jamming on this lute, and there's like music notes coming out of him, and he is singing some nonsense words. But you can see there's magic coming out of that, and there's a ring of musical notes on the ground surrounding these three figures that are keeping the skeletons kind of at bay.
Can I name him?
Sure.
So he is the only of us that really was prepared for this.
Yeah.
He does not have just a like throwaway name-based one.
Yeah.
He is Dean, or Prince Endolorus Goldbow and the Six Strings of Destiny.
Excellent. And then we pull back and we get a shot from this sort of like second lofted tier of from the crenellation from where we saw Alina last. And what are you doing up there?
Well, I'm assessing the situation.
All right. Then please roll plus superior.
So that's 11.
Oh, damn. So on a plus 10, 10 plus ask 2, and take plus forward while acting on those answers. So what questions are you going to ask?
Okay, what here is in the greatest danger?
I actually think that Ramon might be in the greatest danger here. He is clearly the center of the, like, he was the one who stormed into this fight early, and where Nancy is, like, wielding this magic, like, she has some pretty powerful magic, and where, Prince Endolorus has clearly, like, really gotten into this and has maybe played this event before, Ramon is unfamiliar with VR and is sometimes a little, like, not 100% on controlling it, and also, you see that on the far side of this like sort of loft area where you are, there is a big crossbow that a couple skeletons are spinning around from facing outwards, and they are trying to tilt it down towards the center of this courtyard, and they are racking a giant bolt onto it. And so if you don't do something soon, they're going to shoot Ramon.
Okay. All right. And the second question is, what here can I use to find Sparky?
Feel free to tell me this isn't a good enough answer, but there is a big spiral staircase, like ringing the ins. Like this is a weird tower. It's hollow almost all the way up, and so it's wide. It's like maybe 10 feet wide staircase that just spirals up the entire interior of the tower. And if you look up, you can see the very bright red flickering flame of the fire that's at the top of this tower, but also the harsher red of the jaggedy lines of this figure that you saw in the previous game coming from that up top.
Okay.
So you can use the staircase to find him.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. That's basically what I wanted to know anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. It's way at my first order of business is to I'm going to try and take the crossbolt off its mount.
Okay.
Just knock it off.
Okay. Why don't you... Are you defending? I guess the difference would be, are you trying to prevent this bolt from being launched at him, or are you trying to, like, mess up this crossbow to prevent it from being fired ever again?
Well, it's to take it out of commission. So, I mean, I suppose that the biggest... I guess that would be a defend more than anything else.
Because this is an immediate threat. Yeah, this feels like defend. Okay.
Yeah.
So roll plus savior.
8.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, it costs you. You expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
On your hit, you keep them safe and choose one.
Oh, okay.
So you can add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I'd like to clear guilty.
Cool.
So I'm going to first... get the skeletons away from the crossbow with the bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to run over to it to maybe knock it off the wall so it'll come crashing and splintering down on the floor.
You are able to take this thing apart. Like, you have a lot of weapons on you. You were able to knock the skeletons back with some arrow shots. And you were able to take this thing apart and kick it off the wall. And unfortunately, that still leaves you on this thing alone, facing off against two skeletons. Who the arrow has knocked them back, but their skeletons, the piercing damage doesn't do as much to them. The arrows basically went through them, and so they are going to menace you, they're coming back at you, as they stand back up. But I want to cut to Ramon and see what is going down on the ground.
So I think already Ramon. Is like he's doing the Conan thing, right? So he's covered with skeletons and is just has them clinging onto him as he's just swinging both weapons around with all of his might. We get a panel in the VR room of him just spinning and hurling the things around and just looking goofy as all heck. And he's just basically intending to wade through the skeletons.
Okay.
To the best of his ability.
Okay. And we see Nancy is, she is she's holding the staff in front of her and trying to summon a big fireball.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to yell over and say, Dean, can you use that thing and get them all to be in one spot? And Dean is going to yell back, who? Nancy's just going to give him the most frustrated look and just be like, and Dolores, can you get them all together? No problem. And he's going to strum a few more chords on his lute, and the musical notes that are on this ground are going to push some of the skeletons away from her and group them into one spot. She's going to throw a big fireball at them.
It sounds like we're kind of dealing with these skeletons more. Yeah, these are relatively mooky mm-hmm. kind of things. And so I think we get a panel that shows Ramon seeing Alina
mm-hmm.
and seeing the two skeletons up there. And he just pulls back his arm and hurls the axe through the air. And we get a panel of him in the VR room hurling the foam axe through the air. and trying to hit one of those skeletons to take it out.
Okay. Why don't you roll to directly engage the threat?
Sounds good. 12 plus 2. I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay.
And resist or avoid their blows.
Okay. That'll be pretty easy. They're pretty far away from you.
That's what I was thinking.
So this axe just goes hurtling through the air and slams into one of the skeletons, just absolutely like shattering its bones apart and stuff like that. And the axe sticks in the wall. So Alina, you're going to have an opportunity here to, mm-hmm. like, obviously the other skeleton was sort of pushed back by the blow and it like slams against the wall and... you're gonna have a moment. Like, you also have this big axe here now if you want to use his axe, or you can use one of your own weapons. How are you gonna deal with this?
I'm going to remove the axe from the wall and just, again, I'm gonna push him over the wall and off the wall with the axe and then toss it back.
Okay, cool. And so, yeah, you're able to do that because that's a great opportunity, and you're pretty strong. And you also get some strength from the axe, too. It's a pretty cool magic axe. Okay, so how about this? Do you want to move up to the top of this tower?
Yes, I've seen how Nancy is actually handling herself, and I think she's probably going to keep her head. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shout for her to make her way up the stairs. And Dean, can you keep the skeletons from following us?
He's going to look up at you as he hears his name, and then he's going to look back down and pretend like he didn't hear you.
Dean! And then Nancy's going to have to say, you have to use his prince name.
Yeah.
What the hell is his prince name?
And we cut back, and there's like a panel that's just him like smiling with a flash in his teeth, and it just labels him Prince Andalorius. What was it?
Prince Andalorus Goldbow and the Six Strings of Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can see that. It's a UI thing that he's able to... He's done like an emote or something.
Okay. So, Prince Andalorus Goldbow of the Seven Strings of the... See, please just keep the skeletons from following us. Ramon.
Yeah?
Come on.
Hold on, I'm trying to figure out how to pick up this axe. And it shows him like picking up the axe and then dropping it and picking it up and dropping it. And then
you got to hold the trigger if you want to keep it.
I'm holding the trigger and then he's like swinging it rapidly. I'm just going to use the hammer. And he like, you know, trundles on up.
And so you all, those people who are still on the ground are going to be able to back up towards this start of this spiral staircase and meet you up, before you move too far up. There's only a couple remaining skeletons down there. And Dean is going to kind of like, there's like a knob on his lute, and he's going to turn it up to 11, and he's going to play out a tune and like a magical, the notes are going to slide up from under the ground, like on the ground and up and make like a wall of sound. That's going to prevent these skeletons from following you guys up the tower. For a while, at least.
Specifically being dragged, James.
And then, so the three of them are going to come up and join you wherever you are.
Only one way to go, right?
Yeah.
You guys make your way up this staircase. There's not going to be a lot that's going to mess with you while you're going up, because there's not a lot of floors. Down below you, you can hear the skeletons kind of like picking themselves up. They're the ones that were destroyed and like shattered are being reassembled by the ones that remain. At some point, they may follow you up.
When his arms get tired.
But for the time being, Prince Andalorus is able to hold them at bay down there. And so as you get up, as the tower kind of like gently starts to narrow to this point, and when you get to the top of this tower, this is what you see. It is a big open space because it has kind of narrowed and then turned into a bowl again. And so there are the three huge spikes of obsidian that keep going up higher, out of which bursts the flame that tops the tower. And up on top of, and on this platform, there are some more skeleton guys, but they are kind of like beefier, weirder looking ones, where it's like maybe the necromancer has put together multiple skeletons into like one thing. There's definitely a skeletal horse. And on top of this skeletal horse is the Dark Wizard Elmore. He has a huge dark hood. It's done like in purple, the way that like black doesn't really show up in comic books. So everything is kind of purple instead. And he has blue, edging on the hood and there's like bone things embroidered into it. And he's really over the top and he has two skeletal hands. And kind of like sitting behind him on the horse is the form of the jaggy faced VR dude that you saw, who spoke to you through the screen earlier. And he is sitting behind the wizard on this horse. And every time he moves his hands, the wizard moves his hands. And he's kind of puppeting him in this weird, like VR way. And the wizard is going to turn to you and kind of speaking together, or actually no, just the wizard speaking is going to say, "Welcome to the top of my tower. I am the Dark Wizard Elmore. You are worthy opponents to have made it through my horde."
Do we see Jackie anywhere?
Not yet. No.
I'm gonna ask him. Where's Jacqueline?
And he is going to start to speak, and start to say, "You're worthy enough to face my more dangerous skeletons now." And then the jaggy form of the VR dude behind him is going to kind of like pull back and reach over and just like push his head to the side and out from behind him say, "She's safe. Don't worry. We are draining her of the rest of her energy."
"That's not going to happen," says Ramon as he's like just hefts up the two-handed hammer.
And the VR guy is gonna say, "Well, have fun fighting all of these skeletons first. Work up a lot of energy." And then he's gonna like kind of like lean back over behind the dark wizard and who's going to command these some more skeletal monsters to rise from the ground or out of nowhere, out of like summoning circles or something, and they are going to start attacking you.
Okay, I'm going to draw my rapier and just start stabbing.
Okay. Are you trying to just destroy skeletons, or are you trying to like specifically get to the wizard?
Get to the wizard.
Okay, then I would like you to roll to directly engage a threat.
11.
Okay, so on a 10 plus, pick two from the list.
Okay, so, wait, who's the threat that I'm engaging?
Right now you're engaging the skeleton monsters.
Okay. Can I take the wizard from them?
They don't have the wizard.
Okay. So, all right, I'm going to resist or avoid their blows and create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay. What does that opportunity look like? Is it just like you taking down a bunch of these skeletons?
Yeah, I'm mowing them down.
Describe what that cool like dagger move or whatever it was that you were doing.
So
it was a rapier.
Yeah. So it makes the shink noise that it totally is inaccurate, apparently.
Yep.
I'm going to sort of withdraw the blade, go down to one knee, and whip it around my head.
Nice.
To sever all of their spines right below the rib cages. So they're sort of cut in half, disarticulated.
Cool.
And then that kind of creates an opening for Nancy and Ramon to sort of head towards the wizard.
We get the panel that shows Alina making this, basically making this open circle. And at this point, Ramon's had a little more practice. And so he is able to kind of just run through it and just leap forward. He moves his hands down to the bottom of the shaft of the hammer and just swings it overhead straight down, going right for the skeletal horse.
Okay. Because
he doesn't want this guy running somewhere.
Cool. Roll to directly engage a threat.
That would be a 7 plus 2, 9.
Nice. So pick one from that list.
I would like to... I'd like to take something from them.
Okay.
Because really I'm kind of attacking like the necromancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I want to take his transportation.
Okay.
Like I don't want him running off.
That's cool.
Right?
You can definitely do that.
And I'm just picking that one so I'm not resisting or avoiding his blows. But just like we get the panel that just shows the overhand strike coming down to slam into that skeleton horsey.
Yeah. And like many of these things that have, like many of the skeletons, when they're struck hard enough, they just kind of like fall apart. The magic that holds their bones together kind of just dissipates. And so the dark wizard and the VR villain drop to the ground. The VR kind of goblin-y dude, whatever he is going to like kind of, he's going to do some hand motions and the dark wizard is going to charge forward. He kind of slides along on the ground. And he is going to grab you and lift you up into the air and spin so that he's facing the VR guy who is going to start to like kind of do this like reeling in motion and start to drain energy out of you. So I would like you to take a powerful blow.
All right. I'm good at that. There's actually a move to get good at that. I should consider that move. All right. Now take a powerful blow. No. You want to roll low. So I've got a 3 plus 1.
Okay. So on a miss, you stand strong, mark potential as normal, and say how you weathered the blow.
We see like red lines of energy coming from Ramon to the necromancer and just like lines kind of like sinking Ramon's face for a moment. And then he just like lets out a growl and shakes his head and goes, "None of this is real. This is stupid. You can't take my power." And just like, just tries to like twist his body and turn away and like pull himself out of the grip.
Mm-hmm. And you are able to do that. This necromancer is not, or this dark wizard is not super strong. He just kind of has some bony hands. I called him Ultracade. That's all I did.
I like Ultracade.
It's just the name of the place too.
Yeah.
And so Ultracade is going to kind of like stamp one. He doesn't really have a foot, but like make a frustrated hand gesture as he sort of like, as the energy that he was pulling towards him is like just like pulled back away. And he's been unable to collect it. And he's just going to say, "You are too good at this. How could you resist his energies? How about instead you fight some zombies?" And he's going to kind of like open up a game, like console thing, basically. There's like a black screen and he can kind of type a little bit. He types some code into the thing and he hits an invisible enter key and all of the skeletons transform into zombies instead. They're like straight out of, like, they look like people. They look like modern people who are undead. And the necromancer stops being, or the dark wizard transforms from this kind of undead wizard into that's the wrong game. Into this kind of like beefier, genetically engineered zombie mutant thing.
A tank.
Reminiscent of that. Ultracade is gonna say, "Maybe fight someone your own size." And the thing is gonna start charging at you. So what are you doing, Alina? All of the skeletons that you were fighting just became like shambling zombies.
So,
and they are just sort of like that. You had cleared a circle, but they are of like these like armored weapon wielding skeletons. But now you find yourself in a circle of flesh eating zombies, and they are shuffling towards you and closing in around you.
Okay, so I'm going to sheathe my blade again, grab the daggers, and start stabbing skulls in a path towards the necromancer.
So roll me some engage. What's your danger?
0.
Okay, but still 10. So nice. Pick 2 from this list.
I'm going to resist or avoid their blows and impress, surprise, or frighten.
Okay. So yeah, you're able to like move smoothly between through this crowd of these zombies that are coming to attack you. And as you make your way to the, you were moving towards the necromancer, but you don't know that he's not a necromancer anymore. He's a genetically engineered zombie tank. But you're moving towards Autocade as well.
Yes.
And so I think that the person that you're going to impress or whatever, frighten is him, not the zombies, because he's really controlling all of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, he was expecting you guys to like really struggle with this, and it's clearly not happening. He's going to pull back a little bit and go over, and he's just going to kind of shake his head and just be like, no, they're not giving up enough energy. This isn't working. I need to change everything. Let's change everything. And he's going to open up that console again, and he's going to type in some stuff and hit enter, and the world is all going to shift around you. You were on like high up, and there was like this bursts of wind at the top of this tower with flames above you. And now you are all like, as the whole world shifts underneath you, you are all in the center of a Western town. And in that Western town, which is also filled with zombies, as all yes. of the zombies have moved with you. But now where Ultracade was hiding behind one of the spikes, that is now like, he's now inside a saloon. So he's like, he's off and you can't see him anymore. And in the middle of the central road in this dusty Western town, we see the giant mutant zombie thing facing off against someone who was Ramon the Barbarian, but he's no longer a barbarian because everything has changed.
Yeah. So Ramon is in like full cowboy getup. He's got the Stetson hat. He's got he's got like the workman's shirt and just plain black pants, big boots, big jingly stars on the end of them. And he's got one hand up with holding now like a more modern looking sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, he's got stubble now and has a revolver at his waist, of course, because mm-hmm. everybody now yeah. gets a revolver yeah. at his waist.
Yeah.
And he has one arm up holding the sledgehammer, and the big, huge monster zombie is pushing down with both hands on yeah. it. And we get a zoom in panel that just shows the side of his face, and he spits out a little bit of tobacco onto the ground and goes, "Hey, I know this world. Bad move, gringo." And he grabs the pistol from his side and puts it up and fires it into the zombie's stomach.
No. Ramon, loud noises attract more. So, you need to aim for the head.
Roll to directly engage a threat.
Nice. He knows part of this world. That is a 9 plus 2, 11.
Okay. Then you choose 2 on this list.
I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay.
And impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Okay. So you put a shot from your revolver right in its gut. And it stumbles backwards, and like it's where it's pushing down on you, and it's no longer pinning you to the ground anymore, and it's gonna like lope off, and actually probably jump up on top of one of the buildings, probably the saloon where you know that Ultracade was hiding.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? You were gonna create an opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, so part of the opportunity is that all of these zombies, which were slowly shuffling towards Alina, have heard this ringing gunshot, and now all of the zombies and all of the other zombies in this town are all shuffling towards Ramon.
Oh, great.
So you're also, let's not forget, you have some friends with you too.
Yeah.
And you guys are actually all probably pretty close together, but like he's the one who just made all the noise, so that he's the one that you're looking at. So Nancy is there. What would Nancy be wearing?
How about she's in a derby hat?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
And just a coat and trousers with suspenders. And she's got a really clunky, old-timey camera that Ooh. She's using to blind the zombies.
I like that.
and like those bright pearl buttons mm-hmm. on her shirt, like looking very put together and mm-hmm. and finely dressed.
Yep. And let's see. Who? What is Dean?
Oh my God!
Besides extra,
he is definitely dressed with like the full on. You know the piano players in all the saloons with like the suspender.
Oh yeah,
and the arm garters,
the arm garters,
the sleeve yeah. garters,
and yeah. everything has a little bit of extra fringe on it too.
Oh yeah, so. Absolutely.
He has the bushiest waxed mustache.
Oh, absolutely.
That is curled. It's not very long, but it is perfectly curled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't have would he still have a guitar? Piano? Yeah, he doesn't have a piano though. So what instrument is he playing?
He could totally have a guitar.
What if it's just a triangle?
Yes. Yes. So Dean is in this like full-on piano player getup, but obviously he doesn't have a piano, but he does have a triangle, and he is playing that triangle for all of his like heart and soul.
He's playing heart and soul.
Yeah. On the triangle. And so quickly, Nancy and Dean are able to see that these zombies are all coming right for them, because they are pretty much right next to Ramon. But that if they kind of like back up towards where you are, all the zombies are still going for Ramon. So the three of you are kind of like free to move around and do what you want. What are you going to do?
What do you have to defend yourself with?
A sledgehammer and a pistol. So I'm good.
And you know to aim for the head now, right?
No, I know to aim to that. Yeah. Okay. I think we get like a panel that shows Ramon kind of like stepping back and just sort of cracking his back, getting ready, and just lifting the pistol up and goes like, heads?
Yes.
All right. And starts lining things up.
Okay, so I'm going to make my way into the saloon.
Okay.
With, I assume...
Yeah, they'll come with you. Yeah. I think that Dean would stay outside to mm-hmm. help, because we don't want to leave anyone by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to stay by the saloon door.
Mm-hmm. So I make my way into the saloon, and there's probably a panel of me just sort of pushing the saloon doors open. I've got one holster on my right hip and two holsters, one on my left hip and one strapped to a leg holster.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the obsidian has adorned the crown of my hat is adorned with these obsidian nice. Chips.
Nice.
And so I'm looking to assess the situation.
Okay, cool. Roll plus superior. Okay.
Six.
I'm outside. Can't help.
So you enter this bar, or this tavern.
Saloon.
You enter this saloon, and there is a player piano off in the corner. It's playing some music that sounds probably a little bit familiar, but westerny. And there are some patrons in here. They have moved away from the tables that are close to the windows because they obviously see the zombies. But they're Western. They're hardy. They're Western folk. They're hardy. They've seen worse than this. And so they're still drinking. That's the other reason why they haven't really freaked out too much. They're drinking a lot. And there's a big bartender behind the bar, who is shuffling drinks around to people, but there's nothing like overtly menacing going on inside this bar right now. So what are you looking for? What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to find the necromancer. Is he still a necromancer?
You mean the Dark Wizard?
The Dark Wizard.
The Dark Wizard became the giant zombie monster that was fighting, and then he leapt up onto the roof. So he's, in theory, in this building, but he also could have changed, because everything has changed.
All right, well, I'm going to go upstairs in search of the mega zombie.
Okay. Before you are able to get too far up the stairs, a lovely-looking young woman... In very frilly colored skirts and dress, she's going to stop you and say, "Where are you headed? There's nothing upstairs. If you're looking for a drink, head on down to the bar."
I tip my cap and I say, "I'm sorry, miss. I need to check something on the roof.
And she is going to firmly put a hand on your shoulder and just say, there's nothing upstairs that you need to bother yourself with.
Okay, can I juke her?
You can try to... You could try to provoke her. You could try to... I don't even know what trying to juke around her would be. But I guess that would be...
I mean, on a certain level, it would be...
It probably
successful.
Just happens,
yeah.
But if you want to try to convince her to let you through, then you can do that. If you want to try to get past her, you can probably do that too, but it's, she's going to make a big fuss.
All right, I'm going to try to provoke her to let me through.
Okay.
11.
On a 10 plus, they raise the bait and do what you want. She's just going to kind of like, or what would you say to her to provoke her?
Miss, I think some of the patrons downstairs are getting thirsty. You might want to tend to them.
And she's just going to kind of like scoff at how rude you're being and just be like, psh, go upstairs then, I guess. And she's going to walk down to the bar and start telling people mean stuff about you.
What a bitch.
But you, there's no, now there's no one blocking you and Nancy from heading upstairs.
Okay. So we do.
Okay. So you, there's only a couple rooms. And only one of them has the kind of like glowy red lights, that is the glow from Ultracade that you're familiar with now. So you're pretty easy. It's pretty easy for you to figure out where you're supposed to go with this. So you walk into this room and the first thing you notice is that this does not look like a room from a saloon. This looks like the medical bay of a starship. Oh, and laying on the bed, there's like one big medical bed that has like a dome over it. And inside this sort of like domed like auto dock thing is your friend Jacqueline. And she is like, there's a whole bunch of stuff like plugged into her. And there's like an energy draining bar that's like ticking down. And the VR guy is... He's kind of like, as much as something that has no legs can pace back and forth, is pacing back and forth. There is a tall, muscly man in a like a black vest and black pants, and he doesn't have any other shirt on. It's just this black vest, and he's got these big, muscly, tattooed arms. And he has a black hat, and he's like leaning against the edge of the bed. And when he sees that you are coming into this room, he turns and is going to cock his like sawed-off shotgun. Hey, boss, someone is here to see you. And the autocade is going to turn and look and say, no, she's not done. She has more energy. You're too early. This black-headed ruffian is going to start stalking towards you, pointing his shotgun right at you.
I tell Nancy to run, and then I take my VR goggles off.
Okay.
And I'm heading to the server room.
Nice.
Okay, so let's cut back to him
first.
But I want to follow up on what you're doing soon.
Okay.
Down on the main street.
Yeah.
You are being surrounded by zombies.
Yeah.
What are you doing to deal with that?
I mean, I think I'm gonna go ahead and empty out that revolver.
Okay.
And then just start swinging the sledgehammer.
Okay.
My main intention is to get to the
bar.
Saloon.
Yeah. Okay.
And my real main intention is to throw a headless zombie through the window.
All right.
And then jump in after it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that happens. I don't think you have to roll for that. Cool. I think that's pretty easy. Like, this is your thing.
Yeah, we get a panel showing, like, you know, swinging around and everything like that. And then maybe like a nice panel with the click, click. And then zombie crashing through the window, yep. Followed by
remote. We see it from the inside.
Yeah.
It's just a shot of... what we probably see is we see a panel of Nancy running down the stairs.
Yeah.
Followed by this ruffian in the black hat. And as she is kind of like running and trying to find someone who will help her, and they're all just like ignoring her and drinking.
Yeah.
The window crashes in and this headless zombie smashes onto somebody's table and messes up their card game, and they're all... upset about it, and then you come in through the window.
Yeah.
And then actually probably...
Can I roll on the table and grab a gun from the guy who is sitting there?
Absolutely.
So Ramon spins up and like lands on the ground, three-point stance style, pulls himself up to full height, and holds the pistol up towards the big ruffian. Yeah. and gets like a bit one of those big word bubbles and growls out, "You think you're pretty tough, don't you, son? I never knew a gunslinger yet so tough he lived to celebrate his 35th birthday. Learn one rule about gunslingers. There's always a man faster on the draw than you are, and the more you use a gun, the faster you're going to run into that man." And I think before I get to the end of it, the guy pulls out the shotgun and aims to shoot it at me. And I have to, like, jump off.
Okay.
Still doing the end of the monologue, but, like, you know, flying through the air as it is, so.
So we're going to cut back to you.
Okay. I run over to Jacqueline, and I put the headset on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep the mic for myself, but then I run through the employees only door.
Yeah. And there's a brief moment where Ken is just like, "Hey, come on. Don't, you're not supposed to go back there. What are you doing?"
Can't talk, Ken. Saving things. Can I assess the situation once I get to the server room?
Yeah, absolutely.
So seven
plus superior.
Nine.
Cool. So ask one of these questions.
What here can I use to neutralize Ultracade?
There is, so like we in the, like the, because so, you've run into the server room. And so in like the panel that the readers saw at the beginning of this issue, there is mounted on one of the server cabinets, there's a monitor that's displaying Ultracade's energy levels, and there's a keyboard there, and it's like a console, so you can actually type into it. If you could initiate a system shutdown, which would be pretty easy to do, then that would start to shut down parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that would prevent him, and it would eventually shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably use that to your advantage, because it won't shut down all at once.
Okay. All right. So, and Ultracade is not in this physical space.
No.
Okay. So, I'm going to hail Ramon on the microphone that I took and just say, "Ramon, you need to get to the second floor of the saloon. Jacqueline's in the first bedroom to the left. I think I have a plan, but you need to have her in sight. You need to have her in hand."
You got it.
Let's cut back to Ramon. There is an angry mustachioed gentleman who's about to fire a shotgun at you.
Yeah, I think Ramon's like partway down below a table.
Mm-hmm.
And is this is the one that he can kind of live in. He can manage this for a little while. And I think he's gonna try to shoot the shotgun and, like, you know, knock it out of his hands.
Okay.
And do that gunslinger thing.
Hmm.
Which might be unleashing his powers.
I think that it is, yeah. I was just thinking that. You're looking to alter the scenario. This is reshape your environment.
That's what I was
with
thinking.
A bullet.
A three.
Okay.
So definitely Ramon pops up and, like, pulls the gun and
he finishes his monologue.
Finishes up the monologue.
I think that what happens is he fires and his gun just clicks and is empty.
Mm.
And then this ruffian, this black hat, he pulls his trigger and it's not empty.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to roll to take a powerful blow of bullets.
Come on, keep rolling low, Brandon. Oh, I got to mark potential. I forgot to do that. Yeah, that is a 3, 5, plus 1, 6.
Okay, so you still miss. So you mark potential as normal and say how do you not take this shotgun to the face?
I think he takes it to the chest.
Okay.
And is just like shot backward and is hurled out the window again.
Okay.
And is like lying on the ground in the dust and just reaches down, grabs his shirt and rips it open. And we see like the tattoos from when he was in the medieval setting.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's still just got like a little bit of that juice left.
Yep.
And he stands back up, looks inside and just like, For a second, it looks like he's going to go back in there and fight this guy. And then he just goes like, no, no. And just starts to just try to like jump and climb up the side of the building.
Sure. Because there's like a big fancy art design in the front. So there's a lot of like handholds and wood and stuff that you can climb up through.
And he's used to climbing places.
Okay.
And just goes like, I thought this one was a good one. This is not a good one. This is a bad one. And we get like a panel that shows his fist like slamming through the window into the sci-fi setting.
Yep.
And then like crawling through and being in the med bay.
Still dressed like a cowboy.
Still dressed like, oh yeah. at that point, she's there, right?
Yes. So is Ultracade. And he's like, I'm so close. Why can't you just let me have the energy?
And Ramon puts his hand up to his ear and goes, Alina, I've found her.
All right. I'm going to shut the system down, but you need to wake Jackie up first. Maybe even see, do you see the meter that's draining energy?
Yeah, I've got it.
All right. See if
it's not looking good.
Maybe you can, are there any switches or flips we can maybe reverse the process?
This is so much above my pay grade. There's no rotary, if that helps. Start the shutdown. I have an idea.
We cut back to Alina.
Clicking and typing. Very realistically hacking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you have a big computer. Like, you spend a lot of time on a computer doing this. So this is, like, nothing. This is a video game, like, server.
It'd be really nice if you had a second person to also type on the keyboard, though, so you could hack faster.
So, yeah, and I start... initiating the shutdown sequence. Yeah, I don't know enough about code to really make any.
That's fine. So we see, we see the all the code, like the shutdown code starts to appear on the screen and scroll past pretty quickly. And so you know that you've got like a little bit of time left, but it's going to start shutting down parts of the system.
You've got a minute and 2 seconds.
And so Ramon is like stepping into the med bay, and he takes off his hat and hangs it up, and it immediately disappears into code.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Ultracade, you're trying to set this up to work out your hero, villain, you know, cowboy's black hat fantasy, and I get that. But the world's not like that. The world isn't just black and white, good and evil. It's about finding humanity and hope inside of yourself. And all that's well and good. But if you take her and you kill her like this, it's not worth anything. Fight me. Come on. Put him up. I'm trying to provoke him to just, like, stop draining her.
Okay, so roll to provoke.
And can I use my superior because of my speech on morality and heroism?
Yeah, sure. Is that a thing?
I mean, not superior. My savior instead of superior?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Is that a move you have?
Yeah, if I give a speech on morality and heroism, I can provoke a savior instead of superior.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite move. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Snake eyes. That brings me to a 4.
Ooh.
This is starting to feel like when my world ended, and I had a very small window, and I was trying to save somebody.
He's gonna look up from where he's been. He's been, like, he's had eyes locked on her, because he's watching this energy drain screen, and as he starts to look up, he is going to look at you and say, fighting isn't really my thing, but you are much more full of energy than she is. And he is going to, what is he going to do? He's going to pull up a console. And or what's going to happen is because this world is shutting down, and so like everything is going to start to flicker a little bit, and like some of the stuff that's going on outside, like the noises stop. Your cowboy outfit is going to disappear, and you're going to be back in the weapons officer like Star Trek-y uniform from before, and the machine is going to. The machine, this med bay is going to open up and release her, and he's going to kind of just like push her a little bit, and she's going to roll off the bed, And Glorlox, the conqueror of space, is going to step behind you, and he's going to grab you and try to start forcing you into this med bay instead.
So she's out of the med bay now.
Yes.
So she might not be locked down anymore.
Yes.
So Ramon starts going with Glorlox and just like walks to the med bay and just sneers at Ultracade and goes, "I knew you were a coward." But then he just like lets himself be pushed into the med bay and just closes his eyes and says, "Alina, can you get her out?"
"I'm not sure.
Alina,
Jackie, Jackie, can you hear me?"
You don't hear Jackie, but you do hear Nancy. "Alina, she's back. She's here. We got her. Like, we pulled the mask off her. She started moving. We're all out of the game. It's all like, I think she's good. I think we're good."
"But where's Ramon?"
"He's still wearing the VR headset."
I am going to open up the game console and type in the command to
generate items.
Generate. Thank you. All right. So I open up the game console and I type in the command to generate items. 500 scones.
Oh, no. All right. That's too good. I was going to have you unleash your powers, but that's just too good. And you're right into this code. So we're back in the simulation. As Ramon is sort of struggling and being forced by Gorlax, the champion of space, or the conqueror of space, into this medical bay, all of a sudden, just like, a scone bounces and hits Ramon in the face, and then like it bounces off, and then like two more rain from the ceiling, and then like three more, and then it's just like pouring scones into this room. And Gorlax is like, "No,
right, Nancy, Dean, take the headset off now. Take Ramon's headset off now."
And we see just crying, like sad looking Ultracade, who's like reaching out with arms and trying to grasp Ramon and pull him into the thing as Ramon like is removed from this game as everything else starts to like shut down, and in just like one final thing of like Gorlax like reaching up and just his clawed hand in this pile of scones, and then we are back in the VR room, and everyone is out, and Nancy is standing next to you, Ramon, and she has pulled your VR headset off. Something you probably could have done yourself,
if I'd known that it was a thing to do.
Yeah,
I assumed that you would have been way too engrossed in what was happening in the VR.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think actually we've got Ramon like has Nancy lifted up by her shirt.
Yeah.
Because he is feeling he's still in fight or flight.
Yeah.
And he's like has her lifted up, very superhero about to fight, and then has to like put her down and I'm sorry, that wasn't I didn't. Are we good? Did Jackie? And he like looks and finds
her. She's over next to Dean, and Dean is like he's got an arm around her shoulder and is helping her stand because she's very weak, but she's there and she gives you a thumbs up and she's like, "Hey, thanks for all that."
"Hey, Alina.
I'm on my way."
"We did it."
Yeah, and so I run back through the employee doors and I stop at what looks like the winding down of a kid's party and I grab some cake. Just like a big old chunk.
It's probably not winding down, but being set up. Like Ken is out in the lobby setting up a table of like a children's party.
Okay, all right. So I poke my head in the party room and just grab like a plate full of cupcakes that they have prepared for a kid's party.
Yeah, Ken is like, "What? Where are you? Are you taking all my stuff? I didn't see that, man."
And I just say, "Let's get out of here before anything else happens."
"Should we take the computers?" "I'll go grab them."
Okay.
And then there's a panel of Ramon outside holding computer monitors.
Yeah.
And, oh, no. That's just the screens, sweetie. Never mind. What? Thank you. Good job.
Okay, but can we get, like, Frequency or someone down here to take a look, make sure this is not happening again?
Yeah, and I pull out my phone and say, Ultracade, totally FUBAR.
And we get another scene as everyone is outside, that is a couple panels of you guys sitting on, Dean has like a nice convertible, and because he's going off to college, he needs a car. And you guys are out there, and Alina, you've handed out the cupcakes to everyone, and Jacqueline is like wolfing one down because she desperately needs energy.
Mm-hmm. And so I think Ramon is sitting right next to Alina.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, there's some, the rest of the kids are having fun and everything like that. But he's looking just like a little bit more sedate, like a little tired. This is a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes the cupcake and like raises it up like to clink together.
Mm-hmm.
And just suddenly gets this huge grin on his face. And he says, all of this stuff, everything here in this time is beyond me. I can't get Netflix to open up without asking for your help. But we just did that. We just handled it. And if we can beat that, if we can have the two of us going in there and like you having to deal with me, not like I couldn't pick up the axe, but we still won. And you know what that tells me? That tells me we're going to be able to beat anything. We're going to be able to handle all of this. And he takes a big old bite of his cupcake.
Oh, my sweet summer child.
It sounds like you guys are celebrating a little bit. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do your celebration moves work?
So mine... I might have to say another thing to get this to hit exactly where it is.
Okay.
So... He's chomping away at his cupcake, and he goes, hey, do you think, like, real Windshear would have won this?
I don't know if he would have even tried.
Because, like, you know, it seems like he can do a lot of stuff. So you don't think so?
I don't think that's the most important thing. Skills you can learn. But character, that's something that you just have.
And he, like, gets, like, a big grin on his face and kind of, like, gives you, like, a little shoulder bump. And because you said no, I clear a condition and you shift my labels.
And then did you trigger your celebration move?
Well, I feel like a little bit divorced from it because we did win.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But... Who knows what that was and
yeah.
How it happened or why it happened or how to really stop it from happening anywhere else. So yeah. It's sort of like the sense of foreboding is sort of overwhelming the happy and relief.
Does she communicate that to Ramon?
Probably not unprovoked.
So look, as we're on the last page where we've got Ramon just with a huge grin on his face and he's like talking through an entire cupcake that he's jammed in there and is just like recounting what's going on and kind of like turned and laughing with the other kids and everything like that.
And he turns to confirm something with Alina and she's already gone.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter @HerlockHolmes1. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter @DrCaptainCobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.